For War News Radio at Swarthmore College, I'm Sarah Tupchong.
And I'm John Gagman.
A coalition led by Saudi Arabia has started airstrikes against Houthi rebels in Yemen. The Saudis and 10 regional allies say their aim is to restore ousted President Abd Rabu Mansour Hadi to power. The coalition includes members of the Gulf Corporation Council and other predominantly Sunni Muslim nations. Leaders of majority Shiite Muslim Iran and Iraq have both called for an end to hostilities against the Houthis, a Shiite minority in Yemen. Since removing Hadi in January, the Houthis have seized large parts of Yemen's capital Sana'a and its second-largest city, Aden. Deposed President Hadi and other Yemeni leaders have cooperated with U.S. efforts to fight al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Two bombings on mosques in Sana'a have been attributed to ISIS since the Houthis took power, raising the threat of further instability.
A U.S. announcement that it will join airstrikes against ISIS in the Iraqi city of Tikrit has prompted over a third of Iraqi fighters to withdraw or refuse to cooperate in the battle. The U.S. is providing air support on the condition that Iranian-led militias pull out of the city. Three Iraqi Shiite militia groups advised by Iran are boycotting the operation because they say Americans mistrust them. A fourth says it would actively attack members of the U.S.-led coalition. Together, the four groups represent 30,000 of the soldiers fighting to recapture the northern city held by ISIS since July. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi requested American aid in the hopes of breaking a nearly month-long stalemate.
Syrian rebels have captured the ancient town of Bushra al-Sham, a key government stronghold near the Jordanian border. Government troops were forced to withdraw after 4 days of fighting. Bushra al-Sham, recognized as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, is of strategic importance due to its proximity to Israel and Jordan. The offensive was launched by the Southern Front, one of only a few non-Islamist rebel groups remaining in Syria. Meanwhile, Turkey has closed its last two border crossings into northern Syria, citing fears of terrorist attacks. Humanitarian aid, as well as returning Syrian nationals, will still be allowed to cross into rebel-controlled territory. In Damascus, President Bashar al-Assad met with Iraqi Foreign Minister Ibrahim al-Jafari. The two discussed the need to present a united front against ISIS.
Boko Haram kidnapped some 500 women and children from the northern Nigerian town of Damasuk on Tuesday. This is the latest mass kidnapping from the extremist group. Most recently, the abduction of 300 schoolgirls in April drew international attention. Boko Haram, an Islamic extremist group seeking to establish a caliphate, has faced increased pressure from a military coalition of Niger, Chad, and Nigeria. Nigerian and Chadian forces recaptured the town of Damasuk from Boko Haram earlier this March. Nigerian elections, postponed due to threats of violence against voters, are now rescheduled for March 28th.
12 people were killed and 25 wounded in suicide bombings in Benghazi, Libya. An ISIS affiliate claimed responsibility for a car bomb detonated at an army checkpoint. The attack was retaliation for the recent killing of Mohammed al-Arabi, a top commander of the Shura Council of Benghazi Revolutionaries. Al-Arabi and other members of the Shura Council have been connected to ISIS and al-Qaeda. The Libyan military retaliated with airstrikes against suspected militant locations. In the coastal city of Sirte, militants affiliated with ISIS killed five militiamen loyal to the Tripoli-based government. This week, ISIS released two Bangladeshi nationals, who were among a group of foreign workers abducted from the Al Ghani oil field earlier this month.
Progress toward a signed accord on Iran's nuclear program appears stalled as the original March 31st deadline approaches. American officials hope to present a concrete framework to Congress by April, but Iran has avoided agreeing to specific details. One sticking point has been timing: how quickly Iran can make a nuclear weapon, and how quickly the UN should remove sanctions. Iran has requested an immediate rather than a gradual end to sanctions, in contrast to the timetable other countries favor. Both Iran's Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and French negotiators say they would rather postpone the deal in favor of a more comprehensive agreement. Many U.S. legislators have said they would support new sanctions against Iran if there is no agreement by the end of the month.
President Obama has recently called the future of Israeli-Palestinian relations dim based on election campaign remarks by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. In a last-minute appeal to right-wing voters, Netanyahu declared that no Palestinian state would be established if he were re-elected. While Netanyahu backtracked after the votes were tallied, the Obama administration says that it is deeply concerned about the future peace process given this change in rhetoric. Obama has reaffirmed the U.S. commitment to Israel's security, but says relations between Israel and Palestine need to be reevaluated.
We bring to you content from reporter Mabing Katungulu on the Beating Famine Conference and reporter Lorraine Hamsunde on drought conditions in her district of Zambia. From two of our partner radio stations, Yaksani FM in Lusaka, Zambia, and Mazabuka Community Radio in Mazabuka, Zambia.
In all 8 out of the 10 countries constituting Southern Africa region, most people live in rural areas and depend on subsistence agriculture for their livelihoods. But today, agriculture in the region has been threatened by land degradation caused mostly by soil erosion, loss of biodiversity, overgrazing, uncontrolled burning and improper cultivation. Now, governments and other stakeholders such as civil society organizations have identified the need to conserve land and reverse degradation to restore its productivity and improve the quality of life for people that depend on it for their livelihood. In the same vein, World Vision, World Agroforestry Center and other partners are organizing a Beating Famine Conference in Lilongwe, Malawi between 14th and 17th April this year under the theme Sustainable Food Security Through Land Regeneration in a Changing Climate. A check on the Beating Famine website indicates that the 4-day conference will highlight how widespread land degradation in the face of climate change could affect food security in the Southern Africa region. The Malawi conference is a follow-up to the highly successful 2012 Beating Famine conference held in Nairobi, Kenya, which characterized a range of actions and collaborations across East Africa to address food security, resilience, and livelihood issues and opportunities. Reporting for Yasai News, I am Mabin Augustine Katungulu.
Although Zambia is not one of the biggest emitters of carbon, it is now receiving the consequences of ozone layer depletion. Coupled with massive cutting of trees for energy, the skies have become very dry. The soils unable to hold more water, making the inhabitants more dehydrated. Climate change has brought water security challenges in Munjila Ward as most boreholes and wells are now running dry, says Munjila Ward councillor Fines Mulima. The civic leader says climate change is producing profound changes in the precious commodity water, threatening its availability, access, and quality.
The rains are not enough in the area. We anticipate hunger in the area because of this. As you can see around, you know, the maize has prematurely dried. To me, it tells me that the ground is thirsty for water. How about when we reach September? It means even the few boreholes, you know, that we have in the area will be dry. And that, you know, after 50 years of our independence, the people around here travel about 1.5 kilometers, you know, to get water. So what does this mean? It means that, you know, we need more boreholes and even dams. The water levels that are quite low at the moment, we need water bowsers and more boreholes to sustain our lives. Otherwise, we shall just die. Already the ground itself is thirsty for water.
Taking advantage of World Water Day commemoration held in Munjile Ward in Magoe, Mulima told the Mazabuka acting town clerk Wisdom Warrior that people in his ward are still sharing water with animals because the commodity has now become scarce. Mulima also said the milk production has tremendously declined because of poor sources of clean water for animals. And acting Mazabuka town clerk Wisdom Warrior said Zambia is feeling the effects of climate change. He says the changes in water resources affect main sectors including energy production, infrastructure, human health, agriculture and ecosystems.
With the challenges of climate change and global warming that beset us, it is essential that we begin to manage water efficiently. We as a district play our part in managing climate change, of which effective water management lies at the heart of. As the local authorities are aware of and they've started shifting towards the environmentally sustainable policies that take account of the interconnection between environment and sustainable development. Agriculture can reduce water losses and, most importantly, increase crop productivity with respect to water. Water resource management is not just the responsibility of the central and local government, but the responsibility of us all in our various communities. I urge all listening to take keen interest in matters of water management.
Mazaboka is one of the districts in Zambia that has high deforested areas affecting the agriculture sector, which is the mainstay of the district economy. Trees act as carbon traps as they use carbon dioxide and release oxygen in the atmosphere during the process known as photosynthesis, which substantially benefit human beings. Trees also help the soils and water retention, which in turn improves groundwater. Hence the need for everybody to take water management seriously. Reporting for Maz FM, I'm Lauren Hamsonde in Magoye.
Our behind-the-scenes crew this week includes Amber Sheth, Amy DePiro, Mayank Agrawal, Joelle Hajboutras, Leo Elliott, Joseph Millman, Allison Raybar, and Sabrina Merrill. This week's show was produced by Joelle Hajboutras. I'm Sarah Tupchong.
And I'm John Gagnon. Until next time, thanks for listening.